Right, so as Wes so eloquently put it, we're ending our Ephesians 4 series on bodybuilding. Can you all hear me okay? Is the mic well placed? Okay, good. So in, let me just get to my notes. In looking to do that this morning, I wanted to recap quickly on what we've done in the last couple of weeks. And so if you think back, we started out with our first week with a very sobering preach that was awesome, right? Where we were questioned as to what are we building, right? Are we building towards eternity? Are we building the kingdom of God with the time that we have on earth? Or are we building our own kingdoms, which will face an end someday, right? So that was our first week. The second week, we looked at unity within the church and the importance of that, and that was followed then by the fivefold ministry and the importance of that within our context for churches functioning properly, and that was shared by Mike the second and third week. Our fourth week, we looked at how to grow into becoming mature Christians, and Nate Johnson did a fantastic job. I still remember that analogy of a teenager first getting their license, right? Then we touched on not being swayed by any new thing that comes our way, right, in our fifth week. And last week, Andy did a fantastic job on sharing the truth in love. And so this week, we're going to be bringing it all to a close. And I just want to ask Andy to put up a photo there for me. I'm so glad nobody else did this. If we've been doing bodybuilding, I thought, how can you end a series without a photo of a bodybuilder? And it was great because in the prayer meeting this morning, Paul actually shared on that. There's a reason for me showing that, okay? I'll get to it. I really felt God challenge me in my heart this week about that, is that we've all seen gentlemen and their ladies these days that do that too, and I'm not picking on bodybuilding as a sport, right? But I want to question you guys what I felt God said in my heart this week, and Paul kind of confirmed that in our prayer meeting this morning, is that to what end do guys do that, right? It's usually, we usually look at these kind of guys, and when they're on stage, they've spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of special food to look like that, and then also spent a lot of cans of spray on tan, generally as well. And the end to that is to look good. It's about me and people's perceptions of me. And I thought that's just such a great analogy of what we're trying not to do as the church. I've got an antithesis to that, and I wanted Andy to show us another photo of another group of people that work out on a regular basis, but for a goal, for an end. And I thought nobody does a better job than that than firefighters. You hope that these guys look like that previous guy under what they're wearing, because if my house is on fire, I want that guy to be able to carry me out. And so as we look at this as a church, I really felt challenged this week that we haven't done a seven-week series just so that we can look like the first gentleman, that we all walk around looking spiritually buff, but that there is an end goal. There's a reason to us becoming mature within our relationships with God. And so the firefighter analogy is fantastic for me, as we are called to pull people from burning buildings, right? All right. So that was just my intro. And so the title of my sermon this morning is then, let's get in the game. All right, I want to go to Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. If you have a Bible, if you would turn there. So it's Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up to be him who is the head, that is Christ. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, so verse 16 is what we're focusing on this morning, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, my first point is going to be Jesus, head of the church. And I love that about Paul, right? All through this passage that we've read, what's he doing? He's planting us in the truth that Jesus is our head. And I think in looking at the verse that I was given to prepare on, that Paul doesn't do anything by chance, right? There's a very, very real reason why he starts out that verse like that. If you'll turn with me to Colossians 2, verses 18 to 19, I just want to touch on that quickly too. So I'm starting up in verse 18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. And then there's another scripture I don't want us to turn to, but if you look at Ephesians 2:20, if you're taking notes, where Jesus is referenced as the cornerstone of the church. And so we see that through the New Testament. And so a sub-point to my first point of Jesus being the head of the church has to be that we're building a Christocentric church, guys. And what I mean by that sounds pretty fancy, I thought, but the church needs to be Christ-centered, and we say that pretty glibly. Like, I've heard that a lot. And in preparing this preach, I really felt God start to massage that truth in my heart. And for a lot of us, we've heard a lot of what I'm going to say this morning. But I want to encourage us to let God massage truths in our hearts. And so what I mean by a Christocentric church is that we have to have our eyes on Jesus. He has to be the person we're looking at. He has to be the person that we love. He has to be the person motivating us. No one else. How many of you have heard of Christians not coming to church to be part of the body anymore, or functioning or operating what God's called them to, because they've taken offense about something somebody said or some church has done, right? And I believe that's because the church has, for a large part, done a pretty bad job about pointing people to Jesus, right? We cannot build towards man because we're fallible. So if you're building towards me or Mike or Paul or any of the deacons or friends, you're going to get disappointed. And that's why Paul starts the scripture, well, this verse out, saying we've got to be planted in Jesus. My second subpoint that flows from that is unity, right? I've got to read this because I can't remember all of it. This point flows from the one above. I believe that the greatest threat to unity in the church is offense and pride. I believe those are things that cause division among us. When we are being led by Jesus and aspiring to grow to be more like Jesus, we cannot help but have grace for our brothers and sisters. When we compare our hearts to a perfect Jesus, it is very difficult for us to carry offense and remain proud in our current situation, as his perfection illuminates that in our lives, right? God really spoke to me this week because I carry offense. I've got to be honest before you guys. There are people here that have offended me and will continue to offend me, right? And part of becoming mature is to be able to deal with that so that we can operate as a body, right? And that truth really just settled with me this week. I thought, am I allowing offense to get in the way of friendships, right? Because that will cause disunity and division among us, right? And how many instances have we seen of that in the church, guys? And I think what he's trying to say to us, if we have our eyes on Jesus, right, that if we're attaining to be like Jesus, I see what Jesus has done for me. I know what's going on in my heart. I might look pretty good or dressed up, right? But I know what's going on in my heart. I know the evil that God is continually forgiving me of. So how can I hold small offenses against brothers and sisters within the church, right? Isn't that awesome? If we faced on Jesus, if we're in love with Jesus, all things pale, right? We deal with these kind of things quickly and get them out of the way so that there's no division or disunity between us. Does that make sense? Then I just wanted to reference that parable that Jesus teaches on, right? Where he speaks of the servant who owed a huge debt to a ruler and was let off, right, was offered grace. And yet that same day, almost within a few minutes, runs to find a man who owes him very little and has him thrown in prison, right? That guy didn't have his eyes on Jesus, right, obviously, if he reacted that way. My second point coming out of this is take your place in the body. I have a friend who really enjoys NFL. I'm going to make no references to him because there are people that work with me here today and they'll know who I'm talking about. If I reference what team or anything to that effect. But this guy loves an NFL team. He spends lots of time studying them. He watches them. He has friends over. And I've heard, because I don't really watch NFL, that he shouts obscenities at his television if they don't do what he wants them to do. He knows who's on their bench. He knows what moves they should be making, right? But you know the interesting thing about my friend? Is that he has never played a day of football at any level in his life. And I know guys that are like that about rugby too, right? They shout, "Ah, oh, could you drop that ball?" But we've never really played at that level, right? And so I think that analogy just sums it up so nicely for us as a church, right? We're called to be part of the game. We're called to be part of this team. You're called to take your place in the body. We cannot shout from the sidelines, right? As my friend likes to do. So I ask us this morning, why should I take my place in the body? I'm going to show you that Scripture is very clear that that's what every Christian is called to do. And then secondly, I want to show you that why the heck wouldn't you want to be part of God's glorious plan, which is His church, right? So if we can go to 1 Corinthians 12:12, I'm just going to touch on that briefly because it's a long Scripture, but I think you're all quite familiar with it. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. He's pulling in the unity again, right? There's another scripture I just want to reference if you want to read this at home, if you're taking notes. Romans 12, verses 3 to 5. And then the second kind of part to what I want to share here, we'll have a look at Ephesians 3, verses 10. Please don't go there. I'll read that to us. And then if you're taking notes, just one other area you can go and have a look at in Scripture is Ephesians 2, verses 15 to 22, where Paul's talking about God's purpose, right, being the church. So Jesus' purpose was to establish a multicultural, multi-generational church that would take the world by storm by pointing people back to relationship with their Savior. There is no plan B, all right? There is nowhere there where there's an exception or there's, okay, if the church doesn't work out, then we'll pull out this, then we'll pull out the real big guns, right? We are the big guns. God has asked us, God wants us to partner with Him in building His church, okay? I want to read this scripture to you guys because it is one of my favorites. It's just such an incredible scripture. Ephesians 3:10, where it says that God's intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purposes, right? And the writer almost says, the prophets of old and everybody have been standing on their tiptoes, waiting for this day, waiting for this eternal purpose. And we have that. We have that. God's eternal purpose for the redemption of the world is His church and the outworking of us in relationship with Jesus as our head, okay? My next point from this verse flows directly out of taking your place, okay? Is that we each have a job to do. As members of the body have a role to play, and without us fulfilling our God-given role, the body will not operate effectively, all right? Has anybody here, don't put up your hands because I don't want to embarrass you, but in your heart, put up your hand. Has anybody ever had gout? All right? Mark said to me, I have a special ability, given what I do professionally, to illuminate this, okay? And so I'm going to try that. So one of your smallest joints in your body, okay, is your first metatarsal phalangeal joint. I hope you're impressed, okay? It took me 12 years of school to get to that, okay? Otherwise known as your toe, your big toe, okay? And that is the joint that is typically affected by gout, okay? Gout is an inflammatory condition. And you might think, well, it's only your big toe, right? Like, how bad can that be? I tell you, I've seen people at 2 o'clock in the morning over that big toe that's inflamed, all right? And why am I pulling that analogy in? Is that if that toe is not functioning like it should be, if it's red, swollen, inflamed, not moving smoothly with the joint surfaces, you bet your bottom dollar that the whole body knows about it, all right? The body is distracted. The body can't operate in the way that it should, all right? And so it is with the church, guys. That's why I love the analogy that he's comparing us to a body, is that there is no greater part than the other, right? People know when they've got gout of their big toe. They come to the emergency room, right? And, sorry, I've got to have some water here. And I just thought that was such a great analogy, right? We're distracted. We're immobile. We're not able to do what we do. So division and the lack of unity within us is a huge deal, right? It doesn't matter on what level. It doesn't matter which part that is. We can distract what God wants to do for us corporately just by the smallest joints in the body, right? Do you remember what the name is, the fancy name? No, I'm just teasing. The toe. That was a test. There'll be a paper. Yeah. We need to take our place in the body because we were instructed to, and work at it as if for Jesus our head, as the very advancement of the kingdom of God on earth is dependent on it. And if we do what he's called us to, then Paul says we should be seeing, and this is the last thing that I'm going to touch on, is we should be seeing this within our context. This, if you look at the scripture, it says growth and the building up of itself in love, right? And so growth, we can apply to our lives individually. But in this context, I think Paul's referencing to our growth corporately. All right, that's Ephesians 4:16. And that was a huge part of this series, right? The reason we've been doing this is we've been called to look at our lives, make adjustments so that we can grow. So that we can grow as a church, right? The other thing that I just thought while preparing, if Christ is the head of the body, a head, and don't mishear what I'm saying, God has done this deliberately. Jesus has chosen to partner with us, right? But if you think of a head on its own without getting gory, it can't really do much, right? He's chosen to have us as his body so that we can reach out, right? He wants to use us to impact, to spread the gospel, to see the kingdom come on earth, right? So that's referenced in Corinthians 12:27. And so if that be the case, then our growth is of the utmost importance to him as we are required to reach the world as his body. The other thing I was thinking is that separation from the body in physical form results in gangrene, right? Pieces of the body can't do without each other. They die. And so, you know, we could have had quite a few analogies there, but Mark cautioned me against that. And that's sobering, guys. Like separation from the body spiritually. The Bible's telling us, this isn't me, right? Paul's saying separation from God's body brings about spiritual gangrene, right? I don't want to die spiritually. I want to grow. I want to see God use me. And we should all be, right? And he's calling us to that. And now this is probably the most awesome part. The underpinning truth for the growth and building of itself up for the church is that it is done in love. And that this growth and building of the church results in love as a byproduct. That's what he's saying in this context. When we're doing that, love overflows because Jesus is my head and I see his perfection and I realize my need for forgiveness. So I'm very gracious with others in my community. And out of that, we love each other. And who knows, you love someone after you've been through a rough time with them more than ever, right? And out of that, what does the Bible tell us, right? By this, they'll know that you are my disciples, right? By your love for one another. I thought that's awesome. When love is the result of the church building itself up, as Paul speaks of in this verse, then the growth and building will be for the long run because we cannot get tired in that, right? We cannot get cynical or jaded when we're operating and building in this manner. One other interesting thing I thought about whilst preparing this preach is that Paul starts this verse about planting us in love, right? And stating that we need to be found in the head, as Jesus our head. We need to love him. We need to be aspiring to be more like him. That being our primary goal. And then what does John say to the Ephesian church in Revelation 2? Can anybody remember? He actually says quite a few good things about them. And then right at the end, he says, "But this I have against you." He says, "You have forsaken your first love," right? And so if I look at that verse, he actually says some good things about them. They were preaching the gospel. There was growth. They were building, right? But he says, you've forsaken your first love. And why is that a big deal? Because I believe for us corporately, without that, we won't be in this for the long run. But if we're building like that for the long run, when Jesus is our head, when we are pointing people towards Jesus, we're in this for the long run. And love will overflow in our midst, okay? So in conclusion, I just want to sum this up. We see here that God's plan for the salvation of the world is the church. Guys, we've got to see that, right? Like, honestly, I love you guys. I love what we're doing here. In preparing for this preach, I thought, what would I do if Oceanside didn't exist? And I'm not just saying Oceanside. I'm talking about any God-giving, life-giving church in this city, right? But you are here because this is your family, right? I'm here because this is my family. I love this. This is what Jesus gave his life for, right? I thought to myself, what would I do if this church didn't exist anymore, right? It would be huge for me and my family. I love coming here. I love being part of this, right? Because it's what Jesus has called us to do, all right? I think that was a bit of a tangent, but bear with me. We are called to be part of this beautiful thing called the church as Christians. We are called to be in community, holding each other accountable for the salvation of the world. What an honor. Like, God didn't have to do that. He could have created us all as robots. He's chosen us. He wants us to be part of his body. He wants to use us to touch the entire world, right? Wow. That was just something that massaged in my heart this weekend. I thought, wow, how can I walk around at work, right? And not be telling people about this. This should excite us. We should bring people here in an excited fashion. It's like, you want to come with me to church? We have a Christmas service. No, this is life-changing. This is for the bettering of the world. God has no plan B. God has no plan B. We are his plan, right? This is the church, is the manifold wisdom the Bible tells us. Okay. We've also seen that Jesus is the head of his church, and so with our eyes on him and out of love for him, we are called to find our place in the body as we grow and build it up in love. So let's get in the game. I want to give us time to respond. I really felt strongly for that, and just in the time when we were praying this morning as well, is that, guys, God help us if we look like that first guy spiritually. I wish I looked like that first guy physically. I think that's what Wes was referencing, right, in the beginning in my introduction. I'm teasing. But I've got to get back on track. I want to give us time to respond. I think in preparing, I really felt God put on my heart that there are two camps of people here, and there might be four, five, six, but the two types of people that I want to reference here this morning is I think there are people that are sitting in our midst this morning that have been burnt, that are cynical, that have sidelined themselves because of what somebody said or somebody's done or a church that you've been part of. And God wants to say to you today, you need to get back in the game. And I think we need to respond to that, right? That this whole seven-week series has been gearing us to, not so that we're clever Christians, spiritually buff, walking around looking good, but that there's an overflow, there's a maturity, there's a rising to the occasion as a church corporately, right? That we take our place, find your place. If this is your home, find your place in this body to make it operate effectively so we can see more people added to us, more souls saved. The second group of people that I really felt and wanted to reference, and guys, please hear my heart. Right? Jesus does this totally in love, not out of compulsion or anything like that. And so I don't want anybody to feel compelled or swayed by wise words or fancy medical terms. I know that was pretty impressive. But the second group of people, I think that God really is, if you are a gouty joint, if you are part of a body, but you are inflamed and red and angry and you're abrasive and people cannot operate or serve alongside you, you don't want to submit and you're one of those guys. Out of what God's calling us to, for the sake of a healthy church and the sake of a world being impacted by a healthy church, I want to invite you to respond this morning. And so, I'd like to ask worship team to come up, and if they can lead us in a time. If you want to respond by coming forward, I'd invite you to do that. We'd love to pray for you. We'll have some of the elders up here to pray, and if you're in leadership in this church, one of the deacons, you feel you want to come pray for someone, we'd invite you to do that. And if you want to just respond in your chair, that's perfectly fine too. God knows your heart, and he wants you to do business with us, guys. And so, can I just close for us in prayer while the worship guys come up? Look, God, we thank you so much that you're about doing business with us out of a heart for our good. Like we sang earlier, you're a good, good father. You never do anything out of wanting to hurt us or punish us or call us back into line. You want our best, Lord. You want to see your church rise to the occasion that you've created her for, Lord God. You want her to operate as your plan A, Lord. You want to see the world changed forever by what you're doing in your people's hearts and lives. And so I ask, Lord God, that those people that feel the Holy Spirit nudging their hearts this morning, Lord, that they would bravely respond, that you would do business with us this morning, that we would leave here, Father God, as mature Christians, as more spiritually buff Christians, able to pull people from burning buildings. And so we invite you here, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would have your way with us this morning. In Jesus' name.